More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, no limits. Do you struggle with setting limits, saying no, or being a doormat? We're going to help you catch a break. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, no limits. A life without limits. Sounds like a great thing, unless what you mean by it is you can never say no to people. You know, or you struggle with setting boundaries or being a doormat, you know. It's not fun to be taken advantage of by others. It's even less fun to not know how to set charitable boundaries that allow you to be generous, as we're all called to be, and even we want to be, without putting ourselves in the position of always twisting ourselves into all kinds of shapes to please everyone around us all the time. Well, if anything about that sounds familiar, give us a call at 877-573-7825, and we'll help you find a break.
I think this is part of the Christian conundrum. You know, I really do, because I think for those of us who are believers in Christ, this becomes sort of, I'm just thinking of sort of an infinite problem. You know, it's sort of that infinity sign.
Symbol.
Yeah, it's that eight lying on its side, right? And it just keeps going around and around and around. It's Jesus gave to everyone. He even gave his life to everyone. He sacrificed for everyone, but I really need to be able to have limits in my life and help lead people to Jesus by putting limits on them. And how do I do that? Then they come in and say, well, aren't you the Christian one for putting limits on me? You must not be a very good believer in Christ because you're so mean. And then we go back and it goes around and around and around in our brains and our lives and in our hearts. And figuring out when we're called to be generous and giving and self-sacrificing, and when we really need, for our own sakes or the sake of another, to set boundaries and limits in a healthy way, can plague us at times.
Well, you know what? I'm gonna put a little twist on what you just said there.
Oh, I'm interested.
Ooh. All right. Well, here's the thing. We're called to be generous all the time. It's not a matter of being generous or setting limits. It's that sometimes setting a limit is the most generous thing you can do.
Yes, which of course is something we're going to discuss through the whole show. But as I go back to that Christian conundrum, most of us never think of that part. It's constantly the war within ourselves or the war with others who have a very bizarre idea of what Christianity is, a chopped apart idea of what Christianity is,
and
throw it at us all the time. I know my mother used to do this to me because I was the only Christian in our family. If I did anything that remotely seemed like I was standing up for myself or setting a limit in any way or basically something she didn't like, she'd go after the fact that I was a Christian, and I should be much easier to push around than I was being.
Yeah.
And I think so many of us go through this in our relationships, especially our relationships with people who are at a different place in their faith walk.
Well, yeah, I mean, it all comes down to this, okay? It's not about being generous for the sake of being generous. It's about being generous because we're called to work for the good of other people, okay? And so if working for the good of somebody else means setting a limit, then that's what we need to do. You know, or for that matter, if working for our good means setting a limit so that we can get the sleep that we need, or we can take care of our children as opposed to running around doing everything else for everybody else, or you name it. You know, we have a right to set those limits, in fact, an obligation, because that's what working for the good of the other person or our relationship or even our own health and well-being requires of us. So, you know, it's a little different perspective than what the world would suggest that the idea of Christian generosity should be, but it's hard to set those limits. So we're asking you, when do you find it tough to set limits or boundaries with people? Or, for that matter, do you find that people step all over your boundaries no matter what you do? Maybe you try to say, well, please don't do that, and they don't care, and then you're stuck. Or maybe you have a hard time saying no, or even hate the idea of making other people unhappy in any way. I mean, you know that there are some times where you're supposed to just be able to say no, but you can't bring yourself to do it. Let's talk it out and find some ways to give you a break. Today on our show titled No Limits, where we talk about overcoming that struggle with setting godly, charitable limits. 877-573-7825.
Well, you know, and it's interesting. I think that we, during this season of Lent, have a tendency to focus so much on the images before us, not even so much the scriptural words, but the images we are given of Jesus' passion and death. And so we, during this season, have a tendency to pour out more of ourselves, to put up with more without considering the health of ourselves or the well-being and health of others. We just see that image of the suffering Christ and we go, that should be us. And we just throw ourselves headlong into it without a lot of thought. But I was doing some praying and some scripture reading this morning before the show, and it really hit me as I meditated on this, that there were so many times, not just during Jesus' earthly ministry, where of course he would say to somebody, you know, your sins are forgiven, but go and sin no more. Or as we've often said on the show, the rich young man who he told, you know, go sell your things and follow me. And the rich young man said, I can't really do that. And he walked away and Jesus didn't follow him. We've often mentioned that on the show. But as I read scripture this morning, I was actually led to, even though it's Lent, God gave me post-resurrection, right? So Mary discovers the gardener who was Jesus at the tomb. I believe that's where it happened. Forgive me, I was just immersed in the prayer and not so much looking at the scripture. But I'm pretty sure it was in John 20, I'd say around 17. He says to her, don't cling to me, for I've not yet ascended to my Father. Instead, go to my brothers and tell them that I am ascending to my Father. He sets a limit even after his resurrection. Don't do this. I need you to do that, because it will be good for everyone else, and it's what he needs her to do in that moment.
Yeah.
We often think Jesus just set limits because he was exhausted. Oh, he had to disappear from them and go and be with his Father, or whatever that was. But he set limits even in the midst of his resurrection, at the moment of revealing his resurrection. Jesus wasn't a doormat, and we are often taught that if we want to be like Jesus, we have to be a pushover.
No, and look, I mean, look, we could probably, most of us, all afford to be a little more generous than we naturally want to be. I mean, I'm not saying that at all.
We have to fight against that natural tendency to selfishness.
But for those folks out there who don't know how to say no or set boundaries, then that's what we're talking about today. Those times when maybe you forget what the point of being generous is, that it's really to work for the good of the other person and your relationship. And when your efforts to work for the good of another person are actually jeopardizing their well-being or the relationship or even your well-being, that's not good. There are ways to be generous to others that are good for you, for them, and for the relationship. And boundaries help us make sure that we're being generous in godly ways. From the perspective of the theology of the body, you know, we're called to communion, right? That's our destiny. And being generous to others helps facilitate that communion. And yet, the Christian vision of unity, becoming one with God and the communion of saints, doesn't mean the destruction of the self, right? Like the Trinity, that's one God, but three unique persons, even in heaven. When we're entirely united with God and every other person in heaven, we're going to still be us. That's why healthy boundaries are important. They allow us to be intimate with other people while still allowing us to maintain our integrity and dignity as persons who deserve to be known and loved, not just as a means to an end or an extension of somebody else's ego, but as people in our own right. Healthy boundaries help us pursue unity with others in a manner that's still respectful of our dignity as unique and unrepeatable people. So, do you struggle with setting limits? Do you find it difficult to set boundaries with people? Or do you try, and then they step all over them anyway? Maybe you have a hard time knowing when to say no, or how to say no, or even just hate the idea of making other people potentially unhappy, and you're ready to find some healthier ways to approach those situations. We're here to help. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
and the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, you call us to communion and remind us of the importance of self-donation. What your servant, Pope St. John Paul the Great, reminded us was that innate call to use everything you have given us to work for each other's good. Help us to remember, though, that sometimes, Lord, working for each other's good means saying no or setting limits, just as you sometimes say no or set limits with us. Help us to always remember that generosity must be ordered toward the good of the other person, toward our good, toward the good of the relationship, so that all of our efforts to be generous with others bear the fruit that you intended to bear, leading to a healthy, intimate union with all the people that you've placed in our lives and with you through your grace. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on Mortal Life, a life without limits. Well, that sounds great, right? Well, unless you can't set limits with other people, then it's a whole different ball of wax. So we are here to help you set those charitable limits and boundaries that enable you to be generous with others while still working for your good, for their good, and the good of your relationship with them. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Janet, who's listening to EWTN Radio on Sirius 130 in North Carolina.
Hey there, Janet. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hello. Yes, I have a friend, or had a friend, that I did a lot for, and I that's the way I am. I'm very giving. And I like helping my friends. I'm very loyal.
Mm-hmm.
But in a conversation that we had had concerning, I was taking care of her animals when she would go away. And I've done that for her for a very long time. And the last time I had done that, it was so overwhelming for me. And I knew she was leading up. We had gone to breakfast, and she was leading up to me taking care of them again because she was going away. And I said to her, and tell me if I was wrong in the way I said it. I don't know. Maybe I wasn't. Maybe that was what the problem is. But I just said to her, I said, I hope you have someone to take care of your animals. And I said, it was very difficult for me the last time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'd be somewhere. I had to hurry up and get home. I had to, you know, I have after, or if I didn't do it, I had to make dinner and then run back out. And it was just difficult. So, and she said to me, well, it sounds like you're scolding me. And I said, no, I'm not scolding you. I'm just telling you that it's very difficult for me to do that. So everything was fine, I thought, until one day at church, actually, she turned her back on me. So I guess I just don't understand how you can do so much for a person and then one time say you're not going to do it and that they would have that attitude towards you. She hasn't spoken to me, or I haven't spoken to her either, so in six months.
Okay.
That's sad, Janet. Let me ask you, before this incident, okay, so during the time of your relationship, you were giving and giving and giving to her. Did she show up and do things for you? Did she call you and honestly check in with you? Or was she always talking about herself? Did she do things if you needed to go to a doctor's appointment or have something done? Was she available to serve you in any way during the course of your 12-year friendship?
all those years? Not really, no. In fact, I'll tell you. And I think what was happening with me is it was just building and building. And I never wanted to any waves, in other words. I just didn't. And yeah. She's a good person. Don't get me wrong. She's a wonderful person, very good person. And,
well, all right. So let me ask you this. When you say that neither of you has spoken to the other in 6 months, and she turned her back on you at a church, of all things, you haven't followed up with her then to try to, you know, see how she's doing or, you know, reach out to her in any way?
No, or ask
no,
why?
No.
Well, how come?
No. Because I can't. I'm so hurt that I guess I have so much animosity. I mean, toward her because of the fact that why one time after all these years of me doing for her? I mean, I asked her one time just to check a schedule for me, and she turned around and said she didn't have time. Meanwhile, she was right there in the room to let
right.
me know if I was scheduled to lecture.
Well, I get that. I don't know that this is a friendship that will necessarily be able to stand you having set the limit here, because it sounds like she might be a bit of a user. But I think in charity we need to give people a chance to at least
explain themselves
or clarify or even just see themselves in the mirror, because we don't often mean to be selfish, even though we sometimes come off that way. And so I would suggest to you that if you can't bring yourself to do this personally, then at least to send her a note and be kind about it. But say, listen, I really have loved being your friend for 12 years, and I've really enjoyed the opportunity to be able to do these things for you. And I've rarely ever said no to you. And I guess I feel like the one time I did have to say no because watching your animals was too difficult for me, you literally turned your back on me. And I'm not sure I'm reading that right. See, it's really important to give her the chance to to be humble enough to admit that you might be reading this wrong, okay? Even if you're pretty sure you're not, to say, you know, it really seemed like, you know, the one time I set a limit with you or told you I couldn't do something for you, you literally turned your back on me at church. And I was so hurt that I have not reached out to you since then. And I'm really sorry that I haven't reached out, because I should have given you a chance to clarify, because maybe I got that wrong. But I just needed you to know that I would really like to move past this and work through this with you, but I need to know that it's okay for me to sometimes say no, and for us to be in a relationship where you know, I know that you want me around, not just because I can do stuff for you. You know, please let me know if you'd like to get together for lunch sometime. And then see what happens, okay? I think it's on us to really give the other person that opportunity to see how they have come across and clarify either what their intention really was or give them the chance to say that they're sorry. Because if she really believes, well, you know, I just asked her to do one thing and she just lost it on me, you know, that's not obviously what you were trying to do, but if that's her perception, then she's in the same boat that you are in, right?
Right. You're both kind of mind-reading each other. I mean, honestly, when you told me her reaction to thinking she was being scolded for saying that the animals were difficult for you to take care of, it sounded like a flashback to, like, her mom yelling at her for not feeding the dog or something. Like,
who
it
knows?
Wasn't really you. So I think we have to be very, very, very cautious to not let Satan get into our ears and say, see, they don't really care about you. They're just using you there. Now, that there might be a truth to it, and then we can work with that. But if we just mind read and let Satan build animosity inside of us, we're really giving into temptation and falling into a sin we shouldn't be falling into. Where if we have the strength that God gives us in his grace to say to that person, this was my perception, I'm hoping I got it wrong, can you explain to me what really happened here so I'm not mind reading, then we can clarify and God's truth can come into this situation in a way that's healing. No matter what her reaction is, you'll know. Rather than festering, you'll know and be walking in truth.
So the boundary you set was fine, but I think where you failed was the follow-through. And now Satan is feeding on that and causing this resentment and animosity to build. So follow through with the suggestions we made here today. And if you need more support in getting the language, we talk about how to kind of follow up with those kinds of limits, to deal with the fallout of setting a limit. In God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. We'll certainly add you and your friend to our prayer list here on More to Life, that God would give you guys the grace to reconcile. Thanks for the call, Janet. We have to take a break, but we are continuing to take your calls about limits today on More to Life. When do you find it difficult to set boundaries or limits with people. Or maybe you set them and they don't care. They just step all over them anyway. And then you're stuck. What do you do? Or maybe you have a hard time just knowing when or if it's ever okay to say no, or hate the idea of making other people unhappy in any way. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. When we come back, we'll be talking about limits in family life with Dr. John and Claire Grabowski. Stick around for that and a whole lot more to life when More to Life continues.
Unplanned, the true story of Abby Johnson.
I would be the youngest director in Planned Parenthood history.
She believed in a woman's right to choose.
I've had an abortion myself, so I don't have any problem with another woman making the same decision.
Until the day she saw something that changed everything.
Tiny, perfect little baby. And then it was just gone.
Now she's pulling back the curtain on the abortion industry. In theaters March 29th, visit unplanned.com for tickets. Rated R.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria mutual funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual fund. You can learn more about the Ave Maria mutual funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
Do you want an affordable healthcare option that enables you to protect your family and live your Catholic faith? CMF Curo is the Catholic healthcare ministry that works to bring health to the whole person, spirit, mind, and body. CMF Curo allows you to share health costs with other Christians and is more affordable than health insurance. Go to mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare fully alive.
Cresta in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization, Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today we're talking about setting limits and how to do it charitably. Give us a call if you're struggling with setting limits or boundaries with people in your life, 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Dr. John and Claire Grabowski. John is a moral theologian at Catholic University and the editor of A Catechism for Family Life, Insights from Catholic Teaching on Love, Sex, Marriage, and Parenting. He and his wife, Claire, served on the Pontifical Council for the Family, and they're here today to talk to us about setting limits with adult children. John and Claire, welcome to More to Life.
Good morning.
So, you know, it's the idea of setting limits with people that we love, our family members, adult children, that's particularly difficult. Talk to us a little bit about your experience with that, guys.
Sure. So when we were first married, this is something we had to do a lot with our own families, especially my family, who we live near. But now, as we're almost empty nesters and most of our kids are out of the house and as adults, we're having to learn some of those same lessons. We know folks who you could describe as helicopter parents who are always kind of hovering around their college or young adult kids, waiting to kind of swoop in and rescue them when they fail. And we, kind of watching that, have said, we don't want to do that. So we've decided sometimes we have to give our kids freedom to fail as they grow into adulthood.
Oh, this can be the most difficult thing in the world. And Claire, I just want to hear you from a mother's perspective on this, because I think it's harder for us. We're so used to being able to sort of move the rocks out of the way in our kids' lives because they're too young. Now they're adults. They're all very different people. What's your experience in trying to set these limits?
Lisa, I totally agree with you. This is so hard for me because I'm so used to just giving to my kids what they need. But, you know, even though we have wonderful kids, they're very different. And some are really good with their money, and some are not. So John and I have really had to learn that we can't always just jump in and help them when they're in a financial jam.
you know, we want it. We want to take care of all their needs. But is this really going to teach them to be good with their money? Not always. So we need to pray. We need to decide how God wants us to help them. Maybe it's setting up a budget. Maybe it's, you know, having to take out a loan. Or do we help them and pay for something that they're really
struggling? I think, you know, what you're touching on here is something that we said in the earlier segment here, that we're not generous for generosity's sake. We're generous to work for the good of another person. And we've got to ask ourselves, what is the best way I can serve the good of the person that I care about and want to be generous to? John, tell us a little bit more about kind of your experience then with setting those boundaries with your adult kids.
Sure. One of the things that's kind of interesting is as our kids become adults, we're seeing them set boundaries with us. Right now, we're trying to fix up our house so we can sell it and downsize. And we've asked for all the help that our kids are able to give, but they have to decide when they're able to help, when they are not able to, and when they say no, you know, we are learning to be okay with that because they have their own lives and responsibilities. So boundaries are a two-way street as your kids become young adults and adults.
And I think
that's an interesting thing.
It is interesting. It's not always
interesting
pleasant. But I think that that's kind of the key to having healthy discipleship and friendship relationships with our adult kids, where we're able to set appropriate boundaries but also accept those appropriate boundaries from them that say we respect their independence and where God is leading them in their lives.
Yep.
John, Claire, I want to thank you guys for being with us today and sharing the benefit of your wisdom and experience. It's always a pleasure. God bless you guys. Thanks.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
And again, John is the editor of the Catechism for Family Life, Insights from Catholic Teaching on Love, Sex, Marriage, and Parenting. You can check that out at AveMariaRadio.net. We'll be back with more of your questions on More to Life about setting limits. After the break, stick around.
Man failed the first test of freedom. He refused God's plan of love and chose freely to sin and made himself a slave to sin. That first sin gave mankind the gene or inclination to sin, which has given birth to numerous other sins. The Catholic Catechism reminds us that the exercise of freedom does not imply a right to say or do everything. Man is not totally self-sufficient, and his final goal is not his own self-interest and the enjoyment of earthly goals. When man violates the moral law, he becomes his own prisoner, disrupting neighborly fellowships while rebelling against divine truth. For freedom, Galatians tells us, Christ has set us free. He redeemed us from sin, which held man in bondage. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
In the Church, we speak of seven gifts: wisdom, understanding, counsel, knowledge, loyalty, courage, and reverence or fear of the Lord. When I speak about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and these gifts come, they give you the ability to go beyond your strength. If you're struggling to be a good person, a good member of your religion, you know it's a struggle and you don't always make it. I've been at it many, many decades, and I still struggle and trip and fall and have holes in my socks. Struggling to be a good person, something that we need help at. And this help comes to us by these gifts of the Holy Spirit.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Hi, this is Dr. Greg Popchak. When you have conflict with your spouse, how do you react? All couples have disagreements, but your reaction to that conflict can be the difference between a happy and an unhappy marriage. Here are two common relationship-killing habits to avoid. Number one is expecting your spouse to read your mind. This easily leads to negative communication and anger that escalates the conflict unnecessarily. Take the time to identify this in yourself. Verbalize your thoughts. The second relationship-killing habit, withdrawing from the conversation when your spouse complains or criticizing. This could be a sign that you're bored or apathetic toward your spouse's feelings.
A better approach would be to participate in the conversation, making sure your spouse feels heard. Gain mastery over these two relationship-killing habits, and you'll be one step closer to living a truly exceptional marriage. For more tips on how you can effectively resolve conflict in your marriage, visit moretoliferadio.com.
So glad you're joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. And today, no limits. A life without limits sounds great, except if you mean that you're not able to set limits with other people. Then that's a little complicated. We are here to help you today. If you struggle to know when or how to set charitable boundaries with the people in your life, give us a call at 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Claire, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Indiana on Redeemer Radio.
Hey there, Claire. Welcome to More to Life. What can I do for you?
Hi. Thanks. I guess I sort of have a general question. Basically, I feel like my personality, I don't mean this in like a self-glory. You know, you take these Myers-Briggs tests and stuff.
Oh, okay.
They're helpful as much as they're helpful, you know, and as much as, you know, you're a complex image of God. But as much as they're informing. But I always get, you know, the helper, the counselor. And I think that's true to my personality. I mean, I'm a nurse. Those are the sorts of things I'm drawn to, right? But I think sometimes the pitfall of that aspect of my personality is any need out there, I have to fill, you know?
Yeah.
And I'd like to think most of the time it's generosity, which has been edifying to hear you talk about that framed appropriately. Anyway, but of course, sometimes it's not. It's actually self-focused because it's gratifying to help people, which to an extent, I think, is good. It feels good to help people until it starts to not be good. You don't feel recognized or you don't feel... Basically, I think my question is, I get really caught up in people-pleasing, and really, sometimes it's hard for me to set boundaries because I don't like... Who likes confrontation? But I really don't like confrontation, and I really don't like disappointing people.
Sure.
But it's something I feel like God's been asking me to work on is to...
You should be
like
disappointing people for Lent. That's what God's asking. That's your penance.
That's what I am doing. That's my penance. That's it, right. Disappointing everyone.
You know what?
Actually sounds terrible to me.
Of course it does. You know, Claire, you've set up the dynamic here so well, and it's certainly a dynamic that those of us who choose helping professions often, I can't underline that enough, fall into. And I think that it's beautiful and wonderful that you have such a giving heart that truly is mirroring Christ. I think you hit on something very important, though, that with every virtue, Satan likes to come and twist it a little bit so that he can, you know, muck up our lives a whole bunch. And one of the ways he does that is allowing us to begin to feel aggrandized by the fact that we are that person who comes in and rescues and helps and makes everything better. And then we fall into very much being addicted to becoming the helper and being the helper in that situation rather than focusing on what does God want us to do in this minute? What is the best way to truly help in this moment?
So let me ask you this, Claire. There are a couple of different ways this could kind of not be a good thing for you. So give me an example of where you're seeing that maybe your efforts to be generous are backfiring.
Sure. So I feel like maybe in like some personal, whether it's like a friendship or a family member, I've noticed that I will expect things out of maybe that family member that are normative. It's normative to that family relationship. But for that person's own struggles and, you know, not having a faith life or whatever, they're unable to maybe like provide those emotional needs. And I don't mean emotional needs that I shouldn't seek out from them, like normative, you know, a parent figure or something like that.
I gotcha.
But I know God's told me again and again, like, though you should be able to go to that person, you can't. Like, you can't. You need to set that boundary, and you need to
And so remember. Are you feeling like there are times when you're being generous in an attempt to get them to give back what you feel like they should, and then you feel frustrated because, you know, you're killing yourself, trying to twist yourself into knots, because if you could just be good enough, then you could get what you know is buried deep inside of them, but you can't seem to get it for whatever reason. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
I think so. So, yeah, or maybe even when there are expectations that I don't deliver on, because, again, I know that's a relationship where the only way it will be conducive emotionally is to set firm boundaries. Mm-hmm. Then when there's, like, disappointment or frustration, I just feel so guilty. Like, I'm like, sure. maybe I'm not being charitable.
And you said,
know,
this is with, with, like, a parent, you're saying? In particular?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's especially difficult. And
certainly,
and what's going on there, you know, when we're in that situation, there's like this little part of us that still feels like a kid, and really wants mom and dad to, we always want mom and dad's approval no matter how old we are. But there, you know, there's this little part of us that's this kid who just keeps thinking, well, if I disappoint them, then they won't love me anymore. You know, I'm already getting kind of scraps from the table. And if I say no to them, or if I set a boundary, or if I don't hop to when they ask me for something, then I'm going to maybe lose the little bit that I get. And that feels really scary for that little girl inside, right? And so when you're in that situation, I think it's really helpful, actually, to write this out, okay? And what I would suggest to you is doing a journaling exercise. And make this part of your prayer time, actually. Kind of be in God's presence. First of all, spend some time reflecting on all the ways God shows you how much He loves you, that He is that parent that will never fail you. He is that Father that loves you infinitely. And spend some time in the Blessed Mother's presence as well, and asking her to hold you in her arms first. And then write this out, okay? Whenever you are having that kind of guilty feeling for setting a limit with your parent, or saying no in some way, or disappointing them, write a first paragraph, one paragraph, just maybe like three or four lines. Don't go on per pages and pages. Keep it short. From that, imagine what that little girl inside of you feels like. How let her just vent a little bit. I'm afraid that mom's not going to love me anymore, or dad, whichever it is. I'm afraid that, you know, that if I say no, I'm going to disappoint them. I'm a terrible person. I mean, whatever it is. Okay, just let her say what she needs to say.
All the shoulds that are going through your heart. If I did this, then this should happen. If I do that, then this might. Just get it all out on paper.
Then I want you to just give that to God in that moment and say, Lord, help me to respond to this part of myself from the whole healed, godly, grace-filled woman that you see me as being. And help me to show her your love through me. And then I want you to write back to her as if you were writing to a friend, okay? And tell her what you know to be true about the situation, what you believe that God is really calling you to be healthy in this situation, and remind her of all the ways that you love her, that God loves her, and the people in your life today love her. And again, keep it short, a paragraph or two. But the goal is to write to her. Now, what's really going on here is you're having a conversation between your emotional brain and your rational brain, okay? Like, when you're talking to us about this stuff, you're very logical and reasonable about it all. It makes sense to you. But in that moment, the emotional brain takes over. And what we need to do is we need to get them to show up at the same time in the same place and talk to each other so that you can feel those feelings, but then your logical brain can say, yeah, but here's the reality, and let's do this instead, okay? And only by getting those two parts of yourself to show up at the same time can you make a healthy decision about how to approach the situation, both for you and for that parent that you're struggling with. And don't, you're not just going to be able to do this once. It's going to take more of a conversation over the course of maybe several days or weeks to sort this out. But the more you're able to do this in that spirit of prayer, in that context of God's love for you, and just keep that dialogue going back and forth, the more you're going to be able to sort this out, because it's clear to me that you've got enough of a head on your shoulders here to really kind of know what's up.
Oh, absolutely.
But it's just a challenge to integrate it emotionally.
And as you begin to integrate this by writing this all down, doing this exercise that Greg is describing, I want you to make sure you're writing the resolves you come up with. And when your logical brain and your emotional brain click in those aha moments of the Holy Spirit where you go, I should do it this way, or maybe if I did it that way, write those down. Because when you walk away from this moment, and please do this writing, as Greg's saying, in prayer, so God can really be in the midst of it, when you walk away from that and you're immersed in that family dynamic or a friendship relationship dynamic, sometimes that logical brain will shut down. If we've written down those resolves, I'm going to try it this way next time, we're more easily able to recall them. Or even if we know, hey, we're going to go visit mom and dad, keep it in your pocket. And if you start to feel yourself getting sucked into that, you know, excuse yourself, go to the powder room, look at it, and be able to, you know, reactivate your logical brain. But it will be very helpful to you to become the person you want to be in this situation, the person you know you were created to be, but that your circumstances are kind of shutting down.
Yeah, that's a really good point Lisa is making here. I'll make sure to end that second paragraph with some kind of practical resolution, that this is how I want to handle this situation moving forward. So you're giving yourself something concrete to hold on to. By the way, I think that this you'll be able to do this process just based on what we shared with you here, but if you'd like to learn more about it, we actually talk about this process and other similar ideas for dealing with the anxiety that relationships sometimes cause in our book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. In there, we talk about the physical, psychological, relational, and spiritual contributions to anxiety. You're kind of describing the anxiety and guilt that comes from a disordered relationship with a parent. And we talk through how to heal that inner wound that causes that anxiety and prevents you from being able to set those appropriate limits so that you can lead a more peaceful life. I really encourage you to check it out. It's called Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, published by our Sunday Visitor. You can pick it up at CatholicCounselors.com. Claire, thanks so much for the call. God bless you. What a beautiful heart. And if there's anything else we can do to help you out, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the program. And we are talking with you, listeners, today about setting appropriate limits that allow you to be as generous as you want to be, as generous as God is calling you to be, but do it in a way that doesn't let people take advantage or hurt you in some way or actually hurt them in some way. If you find it hard to set limits with people, or you're setting limits and people are stepping all over you anyway, or for that matter, you just struggle with the idea of saying no at all because disappointing people is like the most mortal sin you could possibly commit, we are here to help today. 877-573-7825. Let's talk it out. More to Life. We'll be back in just a minute.
This Easter, from 20th Century Fox and Franklin Entertainment comes Breakthrough, starring Chrissy Metz, based on a true story. When Joy Smith's son John falls through an icy Missouri lake, all hope seems lost. But a mother's belief in the power of prayer inspires her community to trust God to do the impossible.
Please God, send your Holy Spirit to save my son.
Breakthrough, rated PG, parental guidance suggested. In theaters Wednesday, April 17th. Tickets and showtimes available at BreakthroughMovie.com.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Traveling for spring break? You don't have to miss your favorite Ave Maria program. Bookmark AveMariaRadio.net or download the Ave Maria Radio app on your smart device. You can listen to more than a dozen live or recorded Ave Maria Radio shows wherever and whenever you want. On the road, in the line at the amusement park, at the beach, or in the evening after a productive day. Stay connected. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back, and thanks for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today we're talking about a life without limits. That is, a life where you're having a hard time setting limits or boundaries with people. How can you be generous with others, as we're called to, but still set appropriate boundaries? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Debbie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi there, Debbie. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi. Hi. I was calling because we were talking earlier about setting boundaries with your adult children.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a 21-year-old who is in the service, and he just came home this weekend, and he'll be here for a couple of weeks. And he was in a vehicle accident in October, and they totaled his vehicle. And it wasn't his fault, but nevertheless, he doesn't have a vehicle now. We've always had an extra vehicle here at home, so when he came home, whether or not he had his vehicle, we had an extra vehicle. However, that vehicle, it broke down on me, and so we just sold it, and now we have, you know, my vehicle and my husband's vehicle. But my husband and I both work basically on call, and so we need our vehicle at, mm-hmm. you know, any moment.
Okay.
And so my son came home, and before he came home about a month ago, I had already talked to him and his girlfriend, and she has a vehicle, and I told them, you know, you might want to start thinking about using her vehicle when you're here, because we don't have a vehicle for you. I said, you're going to need to find a means of how to get around other than me picking you up and dropping you off. You know, I can do that, but...
So the result of this is what with him?
So he was upset already yesterday because we should know, and we should automatically just give him the solution to his problem of lending him our vehicle, because we know that he...
You know, Debbie, I got a mom to mom here. You
yes.
know, I thank your son for his service, but he would never say that to his commanding officer. If his commanding officer said, here's your situation, find a way out of it, soldier, he wouldn't say, you should do it. You should make this easy for me. And you know what? As moms, as much as we want to embrace every moment when our adult children walk through our houses, we want to make everything wonderful for that short time we get to be with them again. We fall very quickly into the habit of, they're my baby, I have to make everything right. And when they're big, tall soldiers, they can even be a little intimidating when they're saying, you should make everything right.
I mean, the thing is, you're not even really setting a limit. I mean, this is just reality, right?
Yeah,
I mean, he's asking you to
move
bend reality.
Outside of reality.
So this isn't even a limit. This is just crazy, okay? We have a tendency to want people, our kids in particular, to always be happy with us.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is, you know, sometimes reality gets in the way, and you know, you just have to say to him, look, honey, I love you, but this isn't okay. You're asking me to bend reality for you. I'm sorry you're frustrated. You know I would do anything for you, but I got to tell you, if you keep this up, I'm not even going to let you stay here, much less even entertain the idea of me be using the cars when they're available.
Yeah, so, if he's really unkind to you. If not, you just say, honey, I'm so sorry it worked out this way, that all these cars have failed us at the same time. There's a rental car place in town. Give them a call if you need to get
around. You and your girlfriend can split that. You know, you both do have incomes. I mean, that's the thing.
But you're not the fairy godmother here. It's not your job as mommy, and it's very hard to learn this at this stage with a 21-year-old. It is not your job as mommy to be the fairy godmother and make everything great.
You don't want to either fall into the trap of arguing with him about it and getting mad because how dare he, you know, right? Or fall into the trap of, you know, explaining and cajoling and begging him to please understand where you're coming from, because you know you don't want to be unhappy. The approach you want to take is to be empathic but firm. I'm so sorry you're having to deal with this, son. I wish there was something I could do for you. Here's the number for the rental car company. Gosh, I'm so sorry, son, that I really feel bad that you guys can't go out tonight. I wish I could do something. I'm sorry. You can be empathic, but just recognize what the reality is. Okay, he won't like it. That's just kind of tough.
But the limit comes in. Sweetie, I am really sorry that this is inconvenient for you in your time back home. But you also have to be respectful.
It's not my
to
job to bend reality for you.
It.
Sorry,
so,
son.
You know, you are welcome here, and good luck finding a rental car, and your girlfriend's welcome to come over for a meal, and I love having you here as long as you're respectful and kind to me.
So,
end of story.
Hopefully that gives you a little bit of a sense of the kind of attitude that you want to take with him, and more importantly, the internal dialogue that you need to have mm-hmm. with yourself. To be able to set this limit, because really you're not even setting a limit, you're just it's just reality.
Yeah.
Debbie, we talk more about this in God Help Me. These people are driving me nuts, making peace with difficult people, where we do discuss how to set charitable limits with adult children and others as well. I think it'll be a real help to you. Check it out. God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People, available at CatholicCounselors.com. All right, with that.
Let's go to Luis, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Luis or Luis?
Hi, sir. First of all, pleasure talking to both of you.
Thank
I
you.
I need some advice on setting electronic limits on kids. I know this comes up a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
I've got children that are in some grades, they're doing some classes are doing very well, some they're not. And I'm talking about...
What age are your children?
TV. 12, 14... 12, 15, and 16, about to be 17.
Okay.
There.
Gotcha. So
and
what's going on?
I'm trying to turn off the TV and said, you know what, at 10 o'clock, let's turn off the TV. And, you know, I'm not saying go to sleep, but I'm saying let's turn off the TV. And whether that means go to your, go and, you know, play your musical instruments, go read a book, you know, do something. But I'm being told more to the point is that when they're off on school, that I've heard suggestions that I should be more lenient when
being told by who?
Yeah, suggestions from whom? This is interesting to me.
Family member. Let's just say that.
It's not you. Don't mean you and your wife.
The children's mom or the kids themselves?
That's more hit and miss on that one there. But yeah. But again, it should I? I'm just trying to find a little bit of boundaries with them.
Yeah.
And first of all, that includes me too. I know I need to be setting the example. I need to be turning. If I'm watching TV and I'm sitting, you know, let me turn off the TV. There's so many good books that I've gotten from Sunshine Press and from you guys and other things I can be reading.
Sure.
And just showing the example or interacting with them. But
you know what? I think it's more than just the example. This is where I think your plan breaks down. I think it's a great plan. I think kids really need to, like, limit screen time because it just numbs us out. We as adults need to limit that screen time. Where your plan veers off track is that you're not inviting them to do something else with you. You're like, go play your instrument. Go read a good book. They're tired, they're exhausted, they don't want to. But if you say, hey, we're going to turn off the TV every night at 10 o'clock, and we're going to spend a half an hour in the living room, we're all going to sit together, and we're going to decide which books we're reading, and then after 20 minutes, we're going to talk about what we read in that 20 minutes, we're going to get time together. Or we're going to shut off the TV every other night, and instead of watching TV, we're going to play a game together. Let's schedule what those games are, make sure we have them in the house so that we have time together. We're going, before we turn on the TV tonight or look at our devices, we're going to all take a family walk together. If you invite them into a relationship with you and plan on things that are attractive and relaxing and fun together, you'll win this battle.
Yeah.
If you say no to something and leave a void, you're going to lose the battle.
Yeah, because it's, you know, the thing about setting limits with electronics in general, screens in general, honestly, it's a great idea to do it. But the question is always, what will you do if you don't do that, okay? And that's where most parents kind of miss the boat, because we don't actually tend to have a good sense of family rituals where we are getting time to work and play and talk and pray together regularly as a family. Right. And so but we think that if they just turn off the screen, then those things will spontaneously start occurring in our house.
And, you know, it used to happen when most of us are kids. Our parents would say, get out of the house, go play outside, because they were sick of us. And we had to do something. But the world doesn't work quite that way.
Yeah. And family interactions don't work that way at all.
Exactly.
Right. So it's good to turn off the screen or tell kids to put down the phone or all that stuff. You're on the right track with that. But you want to follow that up by asking yourself and asking the family, really, you know, what are those those, what are the things that are missing in our household? You know, do we get time to, you know, work together in some way on little projects around the house or whatever?
Even
do
fun
we get
things.
Time? Do we get time to play together as a family? Do we get time to really talk with each other? And do we get time to pray together as a family? If any of those things is missing, then suggest using the time that you would turn off the TV to do one of those things. And maybe have a conversation with the family about all the stuff you could do together to draw closer to each other instead of watching the screens, and come up with a schedule for
it. Yeah, schedule it, write it down, everybody keep to it, and invite them into relationship with you so that that can replace their relationship with electronics.
This way you're not the guy who's hating on social media or hating on TV. You're the guy who wants to fight for your family, and that's a much easier position to defend. Thanks so much for the call, Luis. You're definitely on the right track. I really encourage you in this. Just add this piece to it. I think we have more suggestions along these lines in Parenting with Grace, a Catholic parent guide to raising almost perfect kids. Check it out at CatholicCounselors.com. And folks, thank you so much for sharing your stories with us and allowing us to walk with you during this part of your journey. If you want more help setting charitable boundaries with the people in your life and finding out how to have healthier relationships, check out the resources that we have for you at CatholicCounselors.com. God bless.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.